KXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. We begin with a new probe into a former special counsel. CBS's Christiane Benavides reports.
Former special counsel Jack Smith, who was tasked with investigating President Trump, is now under investigation himself by the Office of the Special Counsel, a federal watchdog agency separate from the Department of Justice. It's unclear what prompted the probe, but the investigation followed a complaint by Republican Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who wrote on X that Smith's investigations were politically motivated. Prior to stepping down in January, Smith led two criminal investigations into the president, the classified documents case at Mar-a-Lago, as well as the investigation into Trump's attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 election.
Poor air quality is affecting millions in over a dozen states due to smoke from the Canadian wildfires that have now burned nearly 16 million acres. The manhunt continues for 45-year-old Army veteran Michael Brown, who police say shot and killed four people in a Montana bar on Friday.
He is believed to be armed and extremely dangerous.
Lee Johnson's with the Montana Division of Criminal Investigation. He says they found the truck used in the getaway, but no sign of Brown. A separate manhunt's taking place in Tennessee for a 28-year-old wanted in a quadruple homicide. The four victims were all related. His car was found Friday, about an hour away from the bodies that were discovered days earlier in Lake County. Authorities say the suspect was released from prison in September. Fundraising efforts continue for the victims of the deadly flooding in Texas.
More than $6 million raised in a benefit concert by country music star George Strait. The Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country so far raised over $60 million. Now joining the effort, CBS Texas. Its Loud for Love benefit concert at the Fort Worth Stockyards tonight features up-and-comer Annabelle Dwyer, who attended a Hill Country camp as a child.
They're talking about the children, talking about the rains.
Live performances also by artist Amanda Shires, Coffee Anderson, and Nate Burnham.
Mamas are crying, take tears for them.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
A Chargers linebacker has been arrested. CBS's Matt Piper with details.
The L.A. Sheriff's Department says Denzel Perryman was arrested for vehicle code violations. But then they say deputies found five guns in his vehicle, two of them assault-style rifles. They say the 32-year-old was cooperative during the stop. The L.A. Chargers say they are aware of the situation and are gathering information.
And Perryman's scheduled to appear in court on Tuesday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. A former attorney for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives says proposed federal cuts could hinder the agency's ability to keep up with key regulations and affect public safety. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
One ATF responsibility is conducting inspections to ensure gun dealers sell firearms in accordance with federal law. Pam Hicks, a former chief counsel at the agency, says ATF has already struggled to meet inspection goals with not enough resources. The Trump administration's budget cuts would reduce regulatory enforcement by 40%, which Hicks says would only add more limitations to an underfunded agency.
If criminals are using those dealers to acquire guns, law enforcement is less likely to discover that before guns get used in crimes and are more likely to discover it after guns get used in crimes. That is obviously not good and very dangerous.
Hicks says firearms tracing is a critical ATF function to help solve firearms crimes and detect trafficking. According to the ATF, in 2022, more than 8,000 firearms were recovered and traced in Wisconsin. ATF is also required to inspect explosives changes licensees every 3 years, which Hicks says also drains resources from inspecting gun dealers. She says the entire ATF budget before cuts was less than $2 billion. Hicks argues the cuts would provide minimal cost savings and reduce public safety. She sees this as a contradiction to a Trump administration stated goal of making America safe again.
To be clear, I do think they genuinely are interested in doing things about violent crime. I take them at their word on that, but their budget submissions just don't align with that. And I'm not sure why.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little haze in the sky today thanks to that continued wildfire smoke that is present across the area. Some air quality concerns as well. Otherwise, a little patchy fog giving way to mostly sunny skies, highs in the lower 80s, upper 50s tonight, and mostly clear. It's 50 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we are so happy to have Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler on again, and it's always an awesome show, and you always are so well-spoken, and I know our listeners have really missed you, and it's really great to have you for the whole show, and we're going to catch up, and again, welcome State Representative Heather Keeler.
Thanks. I'm so glad you didn't call me the senator. I feel like we used to have this issue all the time, right? And that'll never happen. So
it's early.
It's really early. Good. Yeah, it's good to be back with you, and just with the community. I've said this for the 6 years that I've been doing this show off and on with you, that wow, it's crazy to think it's been 6 years, right? A little over five, but this is community. And as I think we'll get into, we've been dealing with a lot as elected officials, especially in the House of Representatives with the loss of Melissa Hortman. And so it's good to get back here with you, talk about the stuff we talk about and lean into the truth.
Yeah, definitely. And I know right on that day that this was all happening, a lot of people reached out to you, including me, to make sure you were safe, because we just didn't know what was going on. And the same day, we had that big protest at the Capitol, and I think they wanted to call it off, and I think more people showed up. There was like 80,000 people there, and a lot of it had to do with we're not going to be intimidated.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's terrifying. I'll still be honest. Like, I've been on meetings today still talking about, you know, the trauma response, because that's what we're in. And to be honest, it's a little bit disheartening that it feels like the media in general just kind of forgot about it. And we're normalizing these like really high level political violence actions and harm to individuals for speaking up for what we believe is right. And, you know, really doing our work to try to create a good world and a good Minnesota for not only our generations now, but in the future. And so, yeah, it's been a really, really hard couple weeks. It's been devastating. It's rocked us to a core. But I think one thing I know about being an Indigenous woman is we have to, you know, lean into our resiliency and continue to show up, because though it's traumatic and heartbreaking, we still have a really important job to do for Minnesota, and we can't live in fear and run away from the work. So we're here, we're healing, we're really vulnerable, but we're dedicated to the work to serve Minnesota.
Well, what's mind-blowing to me is that you have a full-time job that pays part-time. And like you said, you were just in a meeting today. You are still working for the people. And that's just, I just want to throw out there, I am grateful that, you know, you are who you are and how you work and how you stand up for yourself and for your people.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand, like, how our legislature works. You know, it's interesting. I didn't even really know it, right? I say often, like, had I known what I was getting into, I probably would have never ran. I just accidentally landed here. You know, I said I was marching on the streets to yell at somebody to do something, and then I became part of the somebody to do something. But it's a part-time salary. You know, many of us have had to leave our full-time jobs, take massive pay cuts to do this job. It's a public service job, which then makes it hard, you know, because we're in session half the year, and then to kind of work another part of the year is hard when we have an obligation to our constituents and to our state to be doing this job full time. I know that there is a conversation that's constantly happening about being a full time legislature in Minnesota, because our budget alone, the amount of money that we have to spend, the amount of individuals that we have to serve, you know, we go into special session almost regularly to work on the budget. I think that we could continue to do work within agencies, with our communities, to just continue the good work that we have to do. But yeah, and now, you know, you add the added risk of just our life and our safety doing this job. You know, to be a public servant, we take a massive pay cut. But also, you know, the reality is I've been talking about the threats that come our way since the day I got sworn in. The reality is that these threats are just becoming more real, and they're coming to, you know, our homes. And so I think out of all of this, you know, we always say, like, reach out to your elected official or tell your state representative about your issue. But I think also, like, right now, reach out to your elected official and just tell them thank you for serving. Thank you for doing this work for the community. Thank you for being a voice. Like, I think that it's good to remember that your elected officials, whether it's school board, county commission, city council, they're all humans. They're all parents. They're all Minnesotans just like you. And so, you know, yelling at us is fine sometimes, but I think right now telling us that that you care and that you know, you appreciate the work that we're doing is probably really needed.
Yeah, definitely. And I really appreciate you. And I know people that know you and how hard you work and how you stand up for yourself and for your people is just, you know, heartwarming to us. And it's funny too, that you mentioned that 6 years ago that we started this journey on the radio show, and you were talking a little bit about how you came about running for Minnesota State Representative. We were doing those Sunday night symposiums all over Turtle Island, getting 20, 30,000 people, and your name came up, and then we were able to get you on once that whole, the people were really excited that you did make that turn and run. I don't know if you want to tell that story again. It was pretty darn amazing. and I heard about you before I met you, and that was really cool.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. And I think, like, the, you know, every cycle that I'm in my campaign, I meet new people, and it feels like a lot of people live in this assumption that you have to be, like, trained to be a politician. And the truth is, like, I just think I was a mom who saw issues. I was an Indian education liaison who actually just wanted to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day in my school. And my superintendent told me, no, that'll never happen. And I'm kind of feisty, believe it or not. And I just don't take no very well as an answer. And I really dug into like, what would turn your no to a yes? And kind of looked me flat in the face and said, well, you'd have to make it a city recognized or state recognized holiday for us to ever do anything in the school district. And I kind of took that as like challenge accepted. I think he thought he just kind of put me in my place and we wouldn't have this conversation any longer. And so at the same time, I was really in the fight to stop line three and then have our kids be seen in the education system. And so I just kind of yelled around. I was getting my master's at the time and did my practicum in academic barriers to academic barriers to academic success. Like, why weren't our students graduating from high school? And lack of representation, food insecurities, and homelessness were the number one reasons. And so I was going to run for school board. And right. I think the part of the story that's really important is that 20 women in my community reached out to me and really led me into thinking that I could run and win this seat. And I think that's a really powerful statement, because community matters, how we support each other as Native people, how we support each other as women, just as humans in this work. Like, it took other people to lean into me, to really lift me up, to decide to run. And so that's why I did it. It was crazy. I just wanted our kids to be recognized. I want to end homelessness, and I want to feed Minnesota, and I want to be kind at Winchimaca. And so that's what I did. And wildly, I won, and I've been serving now in the middle of my third term.
Wow. Hey, that's a great story. Hey, we're here with state representative of the great state of Minnesota, Heather Keeler, and we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick short break. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler, our great friend. And geez, I didn't realize it was 6 years. We've been on the air this is our ninth season. So that really, really does make sense. I know we want to kind of pay respect to Melissa, and you wanted to talk a little bit about Melissa Hartman. And we have a clip, too, we want to play. Take it away, Heather. Welcome back.
Yeah. I feel like this is a hard conversation to have, so I can imagine that this is not going to be easy for me. But, you know, I think we have to talk about who Representative Melissa Hartman was and the work that she did. I know that often in the news, we've been really talking about the work that she did as an entirety in her speakership, but also just as a representative. She was wonderful. But she also was somebody who really stood up for tribal relations. And I think that, you know, the work that I do coming in, I serve on MIAC, which is the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. I really have helped launch our members going out to tribal visits, but also understanding what the urban Indian community looks like and the needs that we have uniquely. But Melissa was a powerhouse when it comes to like what allyship with tribal nations and Indigenous people actually looks like. We don't see that often in politics. And you know, we've talked to tribal leaders the last couple of weeks to really prove that, like, this is not a common thing. Melissa was going out and having deep rooted relationships with tribal leaders. But one of the things that she launched that many of us really believe is something we're going to continue to do is to have Sovereignty Day in the state capitol. When she was elected Speaker of the House, she thought it was really important to honor and bring in our tribal leaders into our chamber together, because she understood the responsibility that we have to serve on Native land. You know, Minnesota is 100% ceded treaty territory with 11 tribal nations, and that's important work. And so she worked very hard to do this. Unfortunately, you know, because of the tie this year, we didn't have control of the House chamber, and the Senate took it on. And what I believe, they just totally botched it. If I can be transparent, they just were not put us in a committee room on the side and didn't give it the honor that we tend to give it in the House. But she made a statement that I go back and I listen to a lot, and the message that we're not all going to be here forever. And the work that we do has to have a legacy, meaning to it. And I believe that the legacy she did was leading us all to have better tribal relations. And so, Robert, if you want to play, it's about a 5-minute clip, but I think it's worth one just to hear her voice and to hear her message and to share that with all of you. But it's powerful and it's meaningful. So if we can all take a listen.
Thank you, Speaker Damuth. And next we will hear from Speaker Melissa Hortman from the Minnesota House of Representatives.
Yeah, I'm your bonus speaker for today. Speaker Emerita, Representative Damuth is Speaker of the House. It's good to be here. I want to talk a little bit about that we should think about Sovereignty Day, where we've been and where we're going. You know, we started this in 2019, and it was an outgrowth of my work as a minority leader. I became a minority leader in 2017, and I began visiting our tribal nations as a minority leader. And I found that I was ignorant, and I didn't know what I needed to know. And as a result, I knew that there were other legislators who didn't know what they needed to know about the various perspectives of our very different tribal nations. And the lady leaders helped me a lot. Chief Executive Melanie Benjamin, Chairwoman Kathy Chavers, and President Shelley Buck kind of wrapped their arms around me a little bit and helped me along my development of being a lady leader too, and doing the collaborative work. And I think the Dayton Smith administration was doing a decent job. They were continuing an executive order of consultation that started with the Pawlenty administration. I think the Dayton administration was doing better. But still, we weren't where we needed to be, because the executive branch is one part of state government, but the legislature is a pretty important other branch of state government. And if there was no consultation at the legislative level, and we were putting the bills on the governor's desk that would become the law, then the laws wouldn't really reflect consultation. So I thought we needed to move forward on legislative consultation. And what also struck me is, as a leader of my caucus, I might not always be here. And so it didn't just matter if I had relationships with the tribal governments around the state, but what mattered was that the whole caucus had relationships. And back in 2017, 2018, Representative Peggy Flanagan was just a member of the House of Representatives, and we were hanging out, and we thought, you know, we should do something like Sovereignty Day. We should bring the tribal leaders to the floor of the Minnesota House and have everybody hear what we're hearing. And we weren't able to make that happen until 2019 when we won the House. And I'm just so proud of that we started Sovereignty Day and that it keeps going. When I heard about it on Minnesota Public Radio this morning, they talked about it like it had always been here. Well, let's make sure it is always here. And so that our the people who come after us, when none of us at the table are still serving our communities as leaders, but the people who come next are still having conversations with each other and still building relationships with each other. And of course, this doesn't happen without the staff that does the incredible hard work of pulling it together. On my team, Kevin Lobbins has been in touch with everybody through the years, keeping us connected. And I'm just so grateful to him for the work. We've all also started learning more through tribal state relations training. And I know the House DFL caucus has been up to one at Fortune Bay. We've been to one at Prairie Island. But I would say to legislative members, we will be putting those opportunities in front of you. Sovereignty Day is just a day. It's a beginning. It's a start of your journey of education. And there's a lot more to learn. And tribal state relations is another time when tribal leaders take time out of their schedule and sacrifice for our benefit to help us learn. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to put as many people in those rooms as possible to get that knowledge from these tribal leaders who are going out of their way to help us learn. So the last thing I'll say is we have a long ways to go. So we now have relationships, we have familiarity. I'm not scared of Chairman Siki anymore like I used to be. I'm not scared of Chairman Jensvold like I used to be. But knowing each other well enough to call each other and to work on bills together isn't an end. There's a lot more work to do. And legislators need to keep listening. We need to listen better. We've done better in legislation, and we need to do more as the months and years go by. But thank you so much to the tribal leaders for all the travel and the time commitment you make to help us become educated. Thank you.
Wow. That was beautiful, Heather. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, like, I remember that day, and I remember just some of the frustrations we had about the day. And, you know, then when you go back and you really listen to her words and the message to us, it's just really clear that we all still have a lot of work to do. And I think, again, she proved what allyship can really look like. You know, when you lean into honest relationships, when you, I love that she referenced the lady leaders, because I think really in our community, the matriarchs really are leaders in our community. And often, you know, we don't lift each other up very well. And so I think she did a really good job at lifting up, you know, the leaders that we've had as women that have served and the partnerships there. But yeah, her call for all of us to continue to do this work resonates pretty deep.
Yeah. Geez. I know you're good friends with her and it's just really, you watch something like that and you're just going, oh my God, what a sad waste.
Yeah, I think it's hard too, you know, Robert, because people don't understand, I think, like how close we are in this work. You know, there's only 67 of us, 70 of us, depending on the year. So, you know, that like go from our communities to do this work. We sit in long hours. You know, I've told you, like, there's days that we work 16 to 18 hours working on legislation and committee work and on the floor, and we get deep in the trenches with this. And so it's been a really unique personal process because, you know, she was a good friend of mine. We sat and, you know, we had tea pretty regularly, just talked about life, talked about the difference in, you know, I have young children doing this work. Her children were more grown. But like why we got into this work, you know, she really deeply cared about the environment and making sure that we had a lot of trees in Minnesota. You know, those were like big goals of hers, and just getting to know her, but also just spending the time out on the road in greater Minnesota. Not a lot of people take the time to come out here. I laugh because a lot of my colleagues who live in the city, it's like, if I ask them to go past Maple Grove, they're like finding a dog sitter and packing, you know, their toothbrush. And it's like us out here, we'll go 4 hours round trip, not a big deal. And so she did that. And so she was a phenomenal person. And I think we need to remember the work that she did and the work that she wants us to all continue to do. And I think that's for all of you. You all work in some sort of capacity that, you know, should be having some sort of positive tribal relations. And I think we can all learn from her example and do better in whatever lane we're working in.
Well, what's I want to mention too, what I didn't know is that she was really standing for our relatives with hooves and tails, and our dogs, and our family, which are to us are our family members. And you can just tell by just that how great of a soul she had, and that she's leaving us. Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, and we got a couple more segments. We're catching up, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. Former special counsel Jack Smith, who was leading the probe into President Trump, is now being investigated himself. Here's CBS's Christiane Benavides.
The investigation followed a complaint by Republican Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who wrote on X that Smith's investigations were politically motivated.
Hazy conditions again today impacting millions due to the Canadian wildfires. Air quality alerts are in effect in more than a dozen states, including Minnesota. This man lives in Minneapolis.
I've lived here for 25 years, and certainly this has been the last few days some of the more extreme smoke conditions we've had.
U.S. has sent hundreds of firefighters to Canada to help battle the blazes. A manhunt in Montana for 45-year-old Army vet Michael Brown, who police say shot and killed four people inside a bar Friday night.
He is believed to be armed and extremely dangerous.
That's Lee Johnson with the Division of Criminal Investigation. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Another victory in D.C. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their series today in Washington against the Nationals. They beat them again last night, 8-2, a home run from Christian Yelich. But why did Sal Frelick have to leave the game after his second at-bat? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Well, Sal had to leave the game. That's a knee problem again, the same thing he had during the Chicago series, so where he missed three of the games. It's part of his meniscus. He's had surgery on it back in 19, and yeah, the doctors will have to tell you what they think.
NFL, the Packers under the lights last night in Green Bay with family night, nearly 60,000 fans in attendance.
What a great environment, man. That's great for our football team to get out there and experience our fans and in that environment. So I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little haze in the sky today thanks to that continued wildfire smoke that is present across the area. Some air quality concerns as well. Otherwise, a little patchy fog giving way to mostly sunny skies. Highs in the lower 80s, upper 50s tonight and mostly clear. Right now, it's 48.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had six times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday morning, Up North News reporter Selena Heller will talk to Jimmy Cuska, Jane Mattenair.
And me.
Oh, that's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She'll be here too.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, yeah, welcome back, everyone. We are here with State Representative Heather Keeler, and we're playing catch-up, and we haven't talked to the state's, I almost said it, State Representative.
You almost said it. Don't do it.
Oh, jeez. If people haven't been listening over the years, I often introduce State Representative Heather Keeler as State Senator and then sometimes even Governor, but we won't go there right now. But so it's always a slip of the tongue. And, you know, I'm 64 now, Heather, so I got, you know, some timers. Sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget. But I wrote it down today, so I thought I was doing good. Hey, let's catch up a little bit about the end of the session, and we talk about, you know, you're a full-time job, so really, was it the end of the session? Let's play a little catch up on what's happening up at the Capitol right now, or at the end of session.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't really caught up on, like, the work that we did, right? Because the truth is, this session was really wonky. You know, I mean, I try to tell people, I know the assassination of Melissa has really taken over the conversation for right reasons, but this year was a really weird year in the legislature to begin with. As you remember, we argued at the beginning of session about what quorum is. The Democrats decided to stay out and deny quorum until we could come and, you know, to the legal understanding so that we can move forward. And so that kind of created a new kind of environment for us that we've not had. We had to work in a bipartisan way. We had co-chairs, co-vice chairs, like it was just a very unique space. And so we had to work together. And so there's, when we talk about the wins that we got this year, Robert, it wasn't like it was last term. You know, when we had the trifecta, we just did all the things that we've been working on for over a decade. This year, it looked really different because I think the wins are really like hidden in the things we were able to protect. We made some really big investments 3 years ago that we didn't have to make reductions on. Now, there are some major things that we had to change. I think the biggest thing and the hardest thing for many of us was a couple years ago, we opened up our healthcare options for undocumented individuals in the state of Minnesota. We know that they pay taxes. We know that they're our neighbors. We know that they deserve the human right to have access to healthcare. Unfortunately, you know, from the bipartisan approach, and I'll say from our Senate, you know, though we're in the Democratic Senate majority, they function very differently than the House. I think we believe things a little bit differently in the House than our Senate colleagues do, because we had some members of the DFL party actually vote in favor of eliminating health care for undocumented adults. So that is the heart-wrenching part of this. In partnership with all the federal fallout has been really, really hard. And so I do, though, want to sort of shift, because we did get some wins that I think we've been working pretty consistently on. You know, just in the work that I sit on, I'm the vice chair of human services. I also sit on the health committee, and then I serve on the education policy committee. And this year I was in an elected position as an assistant leader. So that's kind of been a whole thing. But, you know, we got more money into our safe harbor movement, which for those of you who maybe aren't familiar, safe harbor is our sex trafficking programming here. It's what we use to support the victims of sex trafficking in the state of Minnesota. We believe if you're a trafficked youth, you are the victim, and you deserve to be treated appropriately, not a criminal and not criminalized. And so we've been able to put more money into navigators across the state, because we know higher levels of sex trafficking for our youth are actually in the northwest corner of Minnesota. You know, it's not just a metro area thing. We also made more investments in our Homeless Youth Act. Also working with our urban Indian partners over at IHB, you know, depending on what Medicaid does, having traditional healing be an option that we can cover. Working with Lower Sioux to add CPTSD into some of the work that we're able to do out with our county workers, because, you know, we as Native people obviously have historical trauma that come into play. And then we were able to protect some of the work that we've done around tribal aid and making sure that we, you know, stop some really yucky things happening to our environment around helium and water protections. We're just trying our best to do some of that. So I know it's not like big fancy things that we did this year, but really we're just doing our best to protect the things that we've that we were able to move forward on in the last couple of years. So food insecurities is also a thing that I think we need to talk a lot about. With the massive reductions in SNAP at the federal level, we really have to lean into food shelves, food banks, and food sovereignty. And I've been doing a lot of work around birth justice and making sure that we know healthy nursing opportunities is food insecurity, is addressing food insecurities. And so doing a lot of that work. And then last, I'll say there was a huge bummer. You know, there's a lot of huge bummers that are coming down from the feds, but just the huge hit that it's taking to specifically tribal focused supports, mm-hmm. queer focused, LGBTQ focused supports, like 988 completely eliminated their option for the LGBTQ population to help with those services. And so, yeah, that's kind of a real quick update in a nutshell on what we were able to do and what we hope to continue to do. But, you know, it's an ongoing effort and we have to really stay in these seats and hopefully get that majority back.
Yeah, definitely. And when is your cycle coming up to run again?
Well, you know, in the House, we just love elections, I guess, because we run every 2 years. It feels like we're just always sort of in election cycle. And so we're in the interim right now. But then, you know, next November is our election again. And so right now we're deep in the weeds of candidate recruitment in different areas. You know, there's always moving parts this time of year on who's kind of running for what seats are going to be open. There's been some shifts over in the Senate that we've all seen. You know, so new races are happening sort of everywhere. And so, yeah, we're back at it. My fundraising is up and going for the 2026 campaign. So if anybody really loves the work that we're doing, you can always donate to us as individual candidates, or you can donate to the caucus as a whole, because, you know, we continue to do this work as a team for sure.
Can you give out the address, how people can do that? Because it is time. And
yeah, so you can. Yep. So you can go to my website. It's just heather4house.com, but it's the number 4 because I represent District 4A. So heather4house.com. We'll take you to my website. It's kind of under construction, adding some new things, but there is a donation link up in the corner up there that will take you right to the 2026 option. So we got money that we need to raise, because we also just need to make sure that our communities know how to vote, how to engage. There's a lot of federal shifts that are happening in that. So we want to make sure we can also share out quality information to our constituents as well.
Yeah, that's huge. I know it's really interesting that there's things happening. Also, I just want to ask quickly about what's your thoughts about somebody being able to, I guess, break into the Capitol and be naked and then go back and do it again. What's going on at the Capitol here in St. Paul?
I mean, I think safety is a conversation that we're having everywhere. You know, I know for the House of Representatives, one of the things that we're doing to actually take action on this, you know, the Capitol itself is not something that we oversee necessarily, but we do oversee the state office building, which is where we all house our business. And that's under massive construction right now. You know, we're kind of placed off the grid a little bit because we are increasing our own security, our own safety within our committee rooms. And I think over and over, we're just learning that I think we lived in a really trusting world and we need to update how easy it is or how we assume people will want to lean into us. I think it's gross. Like, I think the things that some people do are really weird and really gross. But at the end of the day, I think we're more worried about our home safety and making sure that our loved ones are safe with us too, rather than weirdos, you know, around the Capitol.
You're funny. So I also want to lean into this, and then maybe the next segment too, we can talk about Two Feathers. But I always want to ask you, and I ask other people that are boots on the ground, what you are doing for your health. With your boys. I know you're in a relationship. And how do you keep centered? How does Heather keep centered in a good way? And how do you take care of yourself?
Well, why would you ask me such a question, Robert? I don't know, right? Like, I'm really good at taking care of other people. I think right now I find actually it's healing for me to take care of my team. It's kind of a joke, right? Because I tell everybody to drink water. I've been saying that, I feel like, since session. I really am leaning into my sobriety. That's really, really important to me. You and I have talked a lot about that journey for me, and making sure that I stay grounded to that commitment to myself. Lately, I've been taking Elliot, my youngest, out, and we've been hitting the powwow trail. We were just in beautiful Michigan this last weekend, and we have been around. And so, being with my little wonderful family is probably actually the most healing thing. I love plants. I'm a plant mom. Like, soil therapy is real for me. I think a lot of people don't realize that leaning into ongoing therapy can be really helpful. I did that. I leaned into the trauma response therapy because that was real, but also just the PTSD ongoing issues that we all kind of deal with. And so finding a good therapist, saying no, those boundaries are really important, especially because this work will always leave us something to do. And we have to be able to say, no, I'm going to spend some time with my family or the people that I love the most. And so I'm really trying. I'm trying to practice what I encourage other people to do.
I got to see you guys at Prairie Island powwow. That was awesome. And it was funny because I don't think I've ever met your younger son, and he was there, and it was like, oh, wow. Hey, I was surprised.
It is kind of crazy, cause I say often, like, my family and my kids share me with so many other people, but people don't really ever get to know who my closest people are. And they are wonderful people. And I love that. Yeah. It was nice that you were able to sit and chat with us a bit.
Yeah. It's always good. I really believe too, when and if you ever have the capacity, you'll be a bigger part of Native Roots Radio too. So we look forward to that too here at Civic Media, AM 950, and all over Turtle Island that listen to Native Roots Radio. So, I really believe we always, that was crazy. I had an echo there. I don't know, 70s, I'm a 64 years old and I don't remember much of the 70s, Heather, so sometimes I have these little flashbacks and things like that, and that might have just happened. Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, and we got another segment with State Representative Heather Keeler, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, in this portion of the show, we always like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population by saying no to the wolf with a big howl. Howl!
Howl!
Hey, we are here with State Representative Heather Keeler of the great state of Minnesota, and we're just to kind of chewing the fat and catching up. And one of the things, Heather, I really want to talk about here in this last segment, because
are you going to talk about how great of a howler I just was? I feel like we should at least acknowledge that we harmonized on that howl pretty darn well, Robert.
That was good. Yes, I will back up. I'm just careful, Heather, because I don't want to stay state senator. So I'm just kind of blew by that real quick and try and get into the groove here. But yeah, what a great howl. And, you know, it's funny, too. Our lieutenant governor is in the wolf clan, too. We always like to bring that up when we talk about saving our wolves here in Minnesota. So no to the hunt. Mm-hmm. Hey, we were talking about you really working full time and getting part time, but that's not always the fact, too, because you have two feathers. And let's talk a little bit about and what you can do for the community. And if people are looking for, obviously, a great speaker or, you know, you could do the show without me, definitely. And so let's talk a little bit about your other business and how we can promote that and get people to hire you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, right. We're always multidimensional people in what we do. And I'm so much more than just the representative. I have, it's a native owned consulting business that's called Two Feathers, mainly because it was started with me and my mom to have conversations, in the educational sphere, the healthcare sphere, anybody looking to do community engagement. Really, we talk about how you build strong, trusting relationships with your tribal partners, whether it's tribal nations, individuals in the urban Indian community, or your clients or the individuals that you serve, like patients or students within your organizations. And so we do a large different kind of menu of things. We take on long contracts and actually go in and do audits to see how you're serving your population. We've done that with universities and have created things like the Native Student Support Network, understanding that university systems, you know, can have a really great porch saying natives come to this college, but then the house isn't really made for them to be successful. And so we've gone in and helped do some trainings there. We've also helped lean into healthcare systems, understanding traditional healing, you know, partnered with cancer patients, different things like that, all the way down to then helping tribal nations understand maybe how they can be more frugal with their finances, making sure that they can reach their off reservation population in a good way. And then all the way down to motivational and informational speaking. I do Indigenous focused keynote speaking. My go-to is Indigenous 101, all the things you didn't learn in K-12. And I've been doing that for almost 14 years in adult settings. And it's crazy to me how just running through some of the basics is so enlightening to some of our adults who serve our native population in some capacity. But then also I do a flip side of that is a motivational conversation around pain to purpose, you know, and using my own story, but also a lot of the other stories of the people I've loved and known along the way in my family and in my community that we've been dealt a pretty rough hand at times. And it's easy to stay in the pain of things, but giving the motivation to turn that into some purpose and really lean into the seven generation spread that we can pass down joy and healing and love too if we take care of ourselves. And so, yeah, that's what I do in the world. Would really, you know, love to do that a little bit more. It's complicated to work kind of both sides of the work that I do. But yeah, I think my deepest love is engaging our community and then working alongside our young youth for them to know what their options are and to become great leaders in this world through their pain and finding bigger purpose in that. So yeah, that's what I do in a nutshell, then, right on that side of the work.
Well, and again, what is the website and how can people get a hold of you? Because I can imagine to hiring you to come in and be a motivational speaker to our clients and things like that. that have the native twist. And again, you know, you kind of alluded to this. A lot of our allies don't know our story.
Yeah. And I really think, you know, this idea that, like, when we sit in a space with an open mind and an open heart to learn, then we're bound to do better. And it's been really interesting to watch organizations grow in really good ways, and build really strong partnerships with tribal nations and tribal leaders and serve our capacity a little bit different. But yeah, so it's twofeathersllc.com. That's where you can go. You know, if there's dates or events that you have that you're looking for workshops or keynote speaking, that's what I can do. And the other thing about Two Feathers is it's not just me. I come with a pretty deep bench of other speakers, other artists, singers, dancers. You know, we can actually put an ongoing education series together, you know, every month for a year. We can have an entire symposium of individuals come in and do education systems. And so the beauty of it is that we create a unique opportunity for what your organization needs.
You know, wow, that's exciting. You know, a few years ago, you also, if I remember right, you also fostered babies, or what did you
I
do?
Did.
I mean, I saw you a little. Say that again. I think I talked over you.
Yeah, I was a licensed ICWA mom until, so like a little bit over a year ago. I chose to let my license go because it's a lot of work to do that and do all the other work. But yeah, I found it really important. You know, ICWA, which is the Indian Child Welfare Act here in Minnesota, we have MIFPA, which is the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, that we deeply believe that it's our responsibility to care for, you know, the next generation. And I kind of tell myself and I tell others that the only way that that system works is that those of us who have a home and have an ability to love children open up our home to do that. It's not an easy job. It's really hard emotionally, but it's been one of the most meaningful responsibilities that I've been able to have over the last couple of years, because not only my own nieces and my own relatives, but I've been able to love on, you know, about 20 babies in my home coming out of the hospital while we find them good family placements. I did that work for a really long time and actually really miss it.
I wanted to say, I remember, I don't know if it was we were doing a show or if we were doing something else, but you were watching a baby and the smile on your face was unbelievable. I'll never forget that. And because the baby was off camera and then you pulled the baby in, and it was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you did that too. But yeah. So one more time, Heather, please, on how people can get a hold of you and, you know, in Two Feathers.
Yeah. So it's twofeathersllc.com, all spelled out. It's a pretty basic website right now, but there is a contact form if there's an event that you have, or if there's any conversations that you would be interested in us coming in and having with you.
So we got less than a minute. Is there anything that you'd want to bring up here in this last minute and maybe talk to our people about staying safe or sane or whatever you'd like?
I think I'll share the same message that I literally share everywhere. And my team will tell you this. It's drink water. I know that that like feels like a really simple thing to do, but our frontal lobe is where we, you know, respond with a lot of our emotions. And we're all dealing with a lot right now, whether it's personally or the big picture. I mean, there's a lot of things that we're carrying. Be kind to one another, but most importantly, really be kind to yourself. Drinking water on a regular basis is a good health move. And also I want to encourage you all to like pick up the phone tonight and call somebody and just let them know you're thinking about them. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Let them know that what the work that they're doing in this world is good. Because I think we're spreading a lot of hate and a lot of fear and we're scared. And I think that as a community, we have the responsibility to uplift each other and that, check on your elders for sure. Lead with love.
Thank you so much, State Representative Heather Keeler. This has been Native Roots Radio. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us to break down all the weekend news. We go beyond the cheese with Poppy Bakery. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The mayor's phone call has a Lomonia Dundon Wausau Red and Cody, Gunya who played this in Wisconsin. He looked at the Beton G, John at 16 Chance of Larisha, Yatos Yan Pains to eat 10 Yan Shenzu. Pe o luston kyo WXO ka o pe kyo AM chao ku o na ko ti ko la ya pu lu che lu nyo she ro fu kyo ro luston kyo ha lu mo no ton ji to i to na sik din cha so la cha tro ko pe mo cha le mon je mo mo mon ja ha pao zu te zu chen ku mo ken yo chang chao to pe lu nei ta
Nhà rộng trong nhà chỉ có tiền trang sốt là rộng sản đầu cái tàu trong căn tuần chỉ có trong đời sống cho WXO có ở bên châu AM. Nhân đồ sống cho hào lòng mong nhà trốn trong hoa sở mấy hệ tàn khảo đi. Tuần chỉ có sốt sản nông là thịt là nhà nu sản để thảo xiang tên sốt rồi dị tên nhà sản dưới trong là thịt sốt là. Thật ra nó cứ dành nhớ là hôm đó xiang tên mấy phên ở nhà trốn lưu dị lĩnh đồ vẫn thịt bê.